Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 291, recorded on March 19th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, then it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, as always. How are you?
I'm good, but kind of annoyed that you didn't post the dead guy on your Instagram.
Oh, well, it's because I didn't actually go to the tough shed that he's in. It's really hard to get there on Frozen Dead Guy days. So if you want a photo, I can go back.
Yeah,
almost any other time.
Please go back. I'm expecting one. I expected all right. One. All the other stuff, I was just scrolling through looking for the dead guy.
Didn't see him. He's not there.
The frozen dead guy. None.
Yeah.
There was no frozen dead guy.
And it's kind of funny because where frozen dead guy days are in Netherland, it's not at the same place in Netherland where Grandpa is actually frozen.
Okay. They keep him in the fridge or something?
No, he's in the tough shed, packed in ice.
What's the tough shed?
You know what? It's a tough shed. It's like an outdoor shed that you buy.
Yeah, it's a brand of shed.
Okay. Adam Christensen's also here. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I don't have any complaints about you this week, so.
Oh, good.
We good.
All good? I didn't do anything?
I don't think so.
The day is young. There's still time. Adam.
There's still time. All right. So Apple seeded a bunch of betas again. There's the seventh beta of iOS 9.3. I think
so
it's number seven.
Ready in a couple days.
Yeah. Well, there's. Yeah. I think there have been seven of all of them. So Apple TV, watchOS 2.2, macOS 10, all of these things. It's a lot more than usual, I would say. I was kind of expecting to get 9.3 a month ago. When the betas first started coming out, it seemed like they were pretty much ready to go, but they just let it keep rolling until the event, basically. That's when I think we're all expecting it to come out on Monday.
I am. And even if they don't come out on Monday, I expect we will have a firm release date.
Yeah. Well, I think they've stopped making changes at this point that are realizable by users.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is pretty exciting. So we should probably go down quickly what is included. So in iOS, you got your night shift, which is the biggest thing. I'm sure a bunch of bug fixes. You've got the multi-user support for, is it just schools or is it for...
That's for schools.
I heard that if you have MDM happening on your iPad, it's basically for any MDM user. So mobile device management thing. I guess you can check a box probably.
Maybe. I know it's part of MDM because schools that are using MDM, well, they're smart for doing so.
Yeah.
But it ties into that. So it may be that you need to be a school to be able to have the feature to do the checkbox.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking because I have Bushel, right, one of our previous sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty cool. You can do MDM. It's for free. You can do MDM yourself on three of your devices if you get a Bushnell account.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if maybe there was a box I could check there, but I don't have time to mess with it right now. So
it's not there right now. I'm using Bushnell also.
Okay. Okay. Apple TV. I guess the big things, there are quite a few big things for the Apple TV. The first being folders. I think some of us were wishing it would be tabs, but yep. We get what we get. And I think it'll be nice. I'm accumulating apps on my home screen that are slowly becoming difficult to find. It would be nice to throw all of my games into a games folder. I think I'll probably just do it so that I have anything that isn't a video app, I'll toss into a folder.
You know, I haven't been installing very many apps on my Apple TV because once you have several, it's a real pain to navigate.
Yeah.
So I've just been intentionally not installing stuff to keep down the number of icons I need to mess with.
Yeah, I've just kind of been...
Can't you just use Siri to open the app you want?
I wish. Sometimes Siri on Apple TV is very unreliable for me.
Mm. She's kind of finicky.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be many times where Siri will do something on Apple TV exactly as she's supposed to. And then other times, the same thing that worked 5 minutes ago doesn't work now. Hmm. And of course, I have other problems too. Like, I've had to give up on remote management of HomeKit stuff because that just stopped working through my Apple TV.
Oh, bummer.
I know. And I've done all the troubleshooting and, you know,
just
log out.
Just get a new Apple TV.
So have you reset your router?
Yeah.
Did you turn it off and then turn it back on?
Yep. And I've logged out of my iCloud account, logged back in. Yeah, I've done all this stuff several times.
Shake a rubber chicken, all those things.
Ooh, I'll go get a rubber chicken today.
Did you try a live chicken?
Yeah. Okay. That went over poorly.
The bigger problem that I have with my HomeKit stuff is half the time the hub that I have reports the wrong information.
I have
even if I used it remotely, I wouldn't really know if it worked or not.
That's a problem.
Right? So you say, "Hey Siri, are the lights on?" She'll be like, "Yeah, they're on." And okay, "Hey Siri, turn the lights off." She turns the lights off. Right now I'm messing up everybody's phone.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to use the code phrase.
She'll be like, "The lights are off." And then they're really not.
I have these weird things called light switches that I use my fingers to turn on and off. And
yeah, but you can't use
those.
What
are you, some kind of animal?
Yeah, I guess.
You can't use those when you're not at home.
I do this thing called turning off my lights before I leave. I just do it before I leave. It's really nice. It works all the time.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that.
Well, I'll send you an article.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What if you want to save energy and you want like to set your thermostat down before you leave, but then you're like, "I'm going to be home in an hour. I'd really like to have that warm and not freezing cold when I get home." How about that scenario?
I'm going to wait 10 years before I do any sort of Internet of Things BS. And by then I'm praying that it will somewhat be reliable.
It's so cute how you live in hope.
I know. I'm going to be so disappointed.
It's getting better. I mean, my setup's getting better. Actually, the best thing to do, I'll tell you, the thing that works reliably for me every single time is my HomeBridge hub that I set up and built myself on my Raspberry Pi.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I need to get some kind of Raspberry Pi project going. Speaking of Apple TV and apps, you can download... on your fourth gen Apple TV, the Apple Events app. So it was weird. I saw the story that the Apple Events app, something, something Apple TV. And I thought, oh, let me check my home screen. It should be there, but it's not. It won't be there if you have the new Apple TV because right. It's an app and you have to download it yourself.
Yep.
But if you have an older one, they just appear.
It stays once it's there.
Yeah.
The question some people had, did Apple push out an update for the prior gen Apple TV? Like, is the app that exists there or has existed there in the past, does that work? Will that work?
Assume it will. I think the assumption is that it will. I have the other one in the other room.
Or is Apple going to snub everybody who doesn't have a new Apple TV?
I doubt it.
That would be pretty crappy.
I think they just need to send out a signal to the Apple TVs that says, hey, it's time to show that thing again. Like, Craig Federighi does that from his bathroom.
I mean, so with the old Apple TV, the app should be there now. Like, it should show up, right?
I would assume it would be there by now. Unfortunately, I don't have my old Apple TV anymore to be able to check. Well, I do have it, but I don't have it.
I could leave the room and check the other Apple TV right now if you're really impatient. But
no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just was asking the question because I hadn't read it and I wanted to know if you guys have. That's it.
Nope.
Nope.
I think we're all assuming it will happen. There has been a photo by posted on Weibo of what looks like the iPhone SE packaging depicting a 16 gigabyte model with a, and it says iPhone SE and a bunch of, I believe, Chinese characters, lightning to USB cable, implying that, oh, where does it say? I think it says EarPods on here somewhere too.
Yeah. So is EarPods in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea being that they're probably not. Oh, yeah, it says EarPods. They're not going to be ditching.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen until the 7. That change is coming with the 7.
But this is a new phone. I'm just pointing
this
that out.
This is not a new phone.
It is an old phone.
This is iPhone SE. Packaging.
Okay. Well, right? Part of the new packaging could have been plugging the hole left by the headphone jack.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Especially not. They're not going to make that kind of a major change on a lower end model. They're going to do it at the when they do the big
where people
updates.
On the phone that people really want, so that there's only a little bit of a reason why people want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good thinking, Apple. It'll have NFC, so very likely Apple Pay, as we've been predicting. And I guess that's all we can glean from this box, which is a considerable amount from a box. The iPad. I guess
we're going to talk about the latest leaked images that contradict all of the design things
sure.
we've been hearing so far.
Let's do it. Is this on the iPhone SE?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think images from, I want to say it was 9 to 5 Mac. So most people were thinking it was going to have the rounded sort of design or slight more rounded design. And there were some images that came out on 9 to 5 Mac this week that indicate that it's going to still be flat and it's going to have, like, some people are saying ceramic or, like, they're actually colored sides on the phone. So it looks more like a 5S, but with, instead of, it's like this weird ceramic material. It's like a color matched material.
Mm. So instead of the metal band
right.
around the edge, it's this colored ceramic.
Yeah. You guys didn't see those images?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't. Where are they? Show me.
Again, I think it's 9 to 5 Mac. I don't have the link handy. But I'm conflicted now because everything we've been hearing, this would be like a huge, like, last minute, no one caught this leak kind of thing. So it seems like it came out of the blue at the last minute. So I'm curious what you guys think.
You know,
and they're also saying it's going to have 4K video
and laser beams.
Yeah, identical to 5S with matte edges. These matching matte edges. I got the link for you right here. It is 9 to 5 Mac.
Hmm. Okay.
So link incoming, but yeah, with a 12 megapixel camera and 4K video.
Cool. Well, I guess we have a day and some change. Well, mostly 2 days, a little bit less change.
But well, I guess we'll see. Been accurate in the
past. We'll see.
See, I think there's a lot that's up in the air with this event because it feels like even though we have all this information that's been leaking out about what's going to be there, it just feels like we don't know something about this event.
Maybe Apple Jetpacks.
Maybe Apple Jetpacks.
What does Sonny say?
Who? Sonny Williams?
Sonny Dixon.
Oh. I don't know. What does he say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Apple will also be very likely be announcing the new iPad, the new 9.7-inch iPad starting at $600, $599, 32 gigabyte and 128 gigabyte models available, very likely with Apple Pencil support, with the smart connector, and are they calling it the iPad Pro? That's going to be weird. How do you go into the Apple store and say, I want an iPad Pro? They're going to say, well, which one do you want?
Correct.
Yep.
You just got it.
And I'll say, I want the 32 gigabyte. And they'll say, but which 32 gigabyte do you want?
Do you want 9.7 or 12.9?
And I'll say, well, which one's bigger? I don't know what inches are. And they'll say, you get the bigger one if it's this number and the smaller one if it's this number. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. That doesn't sound like Apple. They should just keep calling it.
And at the same time, it totally does. Yeah, I like the idea of having iPad Mini, iPad Air, iPad Pro, because then you know easily what device is what. But if they're adding in the Apple Pencil support and everything else that makes an iPad Pro, except for the screen size, then maybe it should be an iPad Pro.
They've never been... Okay, they throw around names arbitrarily all the time.
Yes, that's true.
And suddenly they're going to get finicky with doing that?
Yeah, finically arbitrary? I don't know. If they do that, it's going to be really confusing for people.
They are. They are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, somehow we've managed to survive with MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And it's horribly confusing trying to figure out what MacBook Pro someone has, because they're all MacBook Pro.
Damn it, you're right. Okay.
Well, MacBooks too, right?
Right.
I mean, they're all MacBooks, just some of them are Pro.
Yep. But a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah, and they don't care. So I guess Apple knows best. We have some leaked images from nowheels.fr. Yeah, nowhereelse.fr. Of the iPhone 7 casing. And it... basically depicts the rear of the iPhone 6 without the straight horizontal line going across the back. So you just have the curved line going from the side up around the edge of the camera. It also appears as though there will be a very slight camera tumor, a very, very slight one. As opposed to what we were thinking is a completely flush one.
Is it really any different in total height, though? It doesn't look like it to me. It looks like it's more of a design change where they've kind of got this flange that comes up over around the thing rather than, to me, the current design always felt like they took like this camera piece and just sort of stuck it in almost like a screw. It almost feels like a screw head or something like that. Whereas this design looks like it's more integrated, but I don't know if it's that much thinner.
It looks nicer. I will say this.
I mean, it looks more integrated, right? It doesn't look like an afterthought, like that we just like plunked the camera into the back, you know, into the round hole.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it might be a little bit, you know, maybe it's about half the height of the current one. It's hard to tell from the images that have been leaked. That's all I'm saying.
The big old bummer about this thing is they're making it thinner. And, mm-hmm. I mean, be real with me. Do they
6.1
need...
millimeters it's supposed to be about the same thickness as the iPod Touch.
I thought you were going to say a human hair.
iPod Touch. So if anybody's held an iPod Touch, they know exactly what it's going
to
feel like.
But can you level with me and tell me, am I crazy in thinking that it doesn't need to be thinner? Does it need to be thinner?
I don't think so, but
because it seems like they're making it thinner because they can, mm-hmm. and that they don't care about the whole battery situation. Still,
they do. They care about keeping the battery life the same,
mm-hmm.
which they will. So I think Apple's philosophy is if we can keep the battery life the same and make it thinner.
Let's make it thinner.
Yeah. And I don't know that. And I think, again, this is the thing. I don't think there's that many people complaining about the battery life on their iPhone.
I guess that's true. I mean, there
do
is
you have a problem with the battery life
vocal
on your
minority.
iPhone?
I don't have a problem, but I do some things that people may not do, which is one, I plug my phone into my car when I go somewhere.
No, I think everybody does.
No, I don't think that's true. I think there are a lot of people who have Bluetooth in their car that just Bluetooth it. And so you're not going to be charging.
I think they still plug it in.
Bull.
Bluetooth it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yes, I agree.
They plug it in. They decide to plug it in after they realize that they're not getting good battery life throughout the day. So they decide to charge that, on the way to their destination.
Yeah, here's my argument. That ship has sailed. People already know that we have, that our electronics devices are battery sucking, awful things, and we are now so trained after so many years to just always plug it in. I know that's how I am. I don't even think about it. And it's actually probably really bad for the batteries. I probably would get better battery life if I didn't always have my thing plugged in. But I've just learned to always plug. If I have availability to a plug, I'm going to plug it in. And I think that's how most people are.
Are you plugged right now?
Are you plugged in right now.
That's weird. I am not.
But again, even you're not plugged in and you don't even have a problem with battery life. So that's my point is I think this used to be a thing, but I think everybody's so conditioned now and Apple recognizes if it lasts a day, a full day, most people are going to be fine with it. And so we can make design decisions that we want to make just for design reasons. And we don't have to worry about battery. And I appreciate that, you know, I think their line is you can't reduce the battery. So if you came back and said, we want to make it thinner and told us we were going to lose an hour of battery life, the answer would be no. But if you can come back and say, hey, I can make it 2 millimeters thin and it'll have exactly the same battery life, they'll be like, fine, go for it.
Hmm.
I don't think they have an interest in increasing the battery life. I don't think when they're building the next gen products at this point, that's even on the design spec.
It would be so nice, though. I was thinking the other day.
It would be nice.
My MacBook
and
Pro's
Apple's
battery.
A battery case for you.
My MacBook so Pro's
Apple
battery.
Sell you more battery.
Kicks ass compared to everyone else's laptops that I use around. Everybody around me, as soon as they sit down, they plug in their laptop. And I sit there and I use my laptop for 9 hours. And it's awesome. And I'm thinking, this MacBook Pro is thinner than the 17 inch MacBook Pro that I had before it, and the newer MacBook Pro that I had after that, and it has like twice the battery life.
Yeah, because it has not a spinning drive.
Oh yeah, well they should get the spinning drive out of the iPhone then.
Yeah, that'll be the iPhone 8.
Cool. Speaking of which, let's see here. Camera module, the double eyeball, what are we calling this thing? The Wally?
The Lynx camera.
The Wally camera? Wally has two eyes, right?
Wally has two eyes. I you know what?
It actually looks like the Curiosity cam, or we can call it the Curiosity cam or the Wally cam.
I want to call it the Wally cam.
Okay, so the Wally cam. We got some pictures of what looks like the Wally cam that Apple's probably going to be used. This is shared by Taiwanese apple.club.tw. They believe that this is the same.
This is the module component.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was leaked back in January. The same component.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got some photos from Bastille Post of what may actually be the first image of the back of the iPhone 7 Plus.
Have you seen the Feld and Volt renderings of it?
Yeah, those, ooh, yummy. Okay, so you got the Wally cam on the back with a significant bulge. It looks like someone really just crammed that thing in there and it bulged
out. It's the same bulge as is in that 7 case, though. It's that flanged kind of, you know, it's just a nice gradual bump.
Yeah.
The big difference is that the size of it, obviously, and in one of the renderings, the Feld and Volk one, and I'm assuming this image that you have from say it was a Taiwanese site or Chinese site, it's like an oval-shaped opening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's perfectly oval.
Yep.
Because there's another case design that was leaked this week that has a stupid, it's almost kind of like a teardrop with the narrow point cut off a little bit shape. Same kind of I don't know if a flange is the right word, but you know, that gradual slope up design, but it's not perfectly oval. And I think it looks stupid. So I'm hoping the oval one is the right one.
I'm with you, because the other one where it tapers, it looks weird. It looks like Samsung.
Yeah. Totally. Mm. Looks like something. I like the more geometric, symmetrical look. And here's the thing about all this stuff, and I commented this on my show, you know, it's really way too early, in my opinion, for an actual back case for an iPhone 7 to be in production right now. So if this really is one, my theory is it's either a prototype or it's just Apple's having manufacturers make some spec back cases to see what they're going to look like and feel like. Like, this is early pre-production stuff, and the designs could change at any minute at this point. So even if these are actual components that Apple has ordered, I don't think it's indicative of what the final design will be. It's just,
right.
We can get a sense of the ideas that Apple is throwing around. So in reality, both might be accurate at this point. Both shapes. It's my theory.
It's like quantum computing.
It both is and is not simultaneously.
Thank you. So, but it also has the smart connector dots.
Yeah, again, another thing that Apple's probably playing around with.
Yeah, that seems more of a playing around with kind of situation, because so it's down near the, basically at the bottom center on the back,
on the back
of the phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of right where the is it right above the, like, where all the little legal lines would have been, because those have all been moved to software now, right?
No, it's kind of like,
still there.
It's kind of where that band would be, the antenna band would be,
right? Yeah. But, so right down below the iPhone. Like, mine says iPhone S, and then it has the legal lines, and then right under that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically down there. What is that? What are you going to do with that?
You could have a case. You could have a keyboard dock. Like, you remember the original one that didn't sell very well?
Yes. Where your iPad sat upright, so you had the portrait screen. Yeah.
Right. So if Apple developed a little portable folding one that would, like, fold out into the
They're
little
not
stand,
going to do that.
Well,
that's not going to happen. You kidding me?
Again, they are likely playing around with ideas. I mean, another thing is, I guess you could use it potentially for charging, you know, so you could have a dock or something or a pad that it went on that, you know, magnetically connected. And there's been those rumors too. My big problem with either wireless or a magnetic connector for charging would be the fact that, again, going back to the whole battery thing, there's tons of people I know who like to use their iPhones when they're actually charging and plugged in.
Mm-hmm. Lightning
and wireless
cable.
Charging, you can't do that.
But you can charge with the lightning cable. Problem solved.
Oh, so you're saying they'll add wireless and still leave lightning cable.
How are you going to do data? You gotta need
Wi-Fi.
How do you restore your phone? If it becomes the Apple Watch, I'm done. I'm taking my toys and going home.
and they'll add a smart connector.
Oh. You're a smart connector.
I don't like it either. I'm not saying I like it, but I'm saying these are design ideas that I'm sure are being floated around. And so, again, you're gonna see spec designs that are leaking out that have these features in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds plausible. SanDisk has been showing off their 256 gigabyte NAND flash chips.
Nice.
Yeah. So in this photo that I'm looking at, there are two chips. One is a 64 gig chip and one is a 256 gig chip. Physically, one is larger than the other. And the fun thing is the larger chip is the smaller capacity chip.
Yep. The 64 gig is bigger than the 256.
Yeah. So there's a...
I don't think we're going to get a 256 gig iPhone, though.
I don't think we will either.
iPad, maybe.
Yeah.
iPad Pro.
iPad Pro.
I'm hoping the price point of the 128 gig iPhone comes down by a notch.
Likely that, not.
That's not so hard. That's not so much to ask for, right?
Yeah, it is. Apple doesn't do that. They bring out the new model at the same price point and same storage sizes.
No, I mean they shuffle around the storage.
Maybe
sizes.
if they do a 256 model, then yes, because I think it'll go 32, 128, 256.
If they got 4K video on this thing, you got to have so much space.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. Not that I would,
have to add the 256 size, and I'm not sure they're going to do that with at least with the 7.
Okay, well, I hope they do. Let's see. I like this story. Apple Music is Apple has announced a partnership with Dubset Media Holdings to stream thousands of remix songs and DJ mixes, both based on original recordings that were previously unavailable due to copyright issues. Yeah. So the way it works is the Dubset technology, it's called MixBank, and it analyzes remixes or DJ mix files, identifies the existing recordings within the files, pays the necessary right holders, and distributes the mix through Apple Music or would.
Yeah. We were talking to Doc Rock on the Mac show, you know, and he used to be a DJ, worked at radio stations, and they had technology. I couldn't tell. He made it sound like, I think it was from the same company or similar technology. And it's like amazing how it works, where it can just instantly analyze off of just a few beats of a song at this point, where that song, what that song is, and you know, what they basically need to pay out. So DJs can mix all kinds of stuff together, and this software will be able to accurately identify basically like the DNA of the song and be like, oh yeah, that's this, and we have to pay so and so X.
That's pretty impressive technology.
Yeah, and Apple is the only company that has a deal with these guys, so this is an Apple Music exclusive at this point.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. It's
a little bit of a coup on Apple's part.
It is, right? Because this is probably one of the most popular new ways to listen to music is listening to DJ mixes. Because what, I mean, at least for me, it's such an efficient way to not only like get your groove on, but also get a whole smattering of different new music, new and old music you haven't heard. And the great thing currently about listening to, like what I was talking about last week, A-Trax mixes or any of the other mixes on Beats One, they right now, if there is something that they have available on Apple Music in a mix, as it's playing, you can hit a button, just one button, and it will add that song to your library. And I've been doing that. I've actually, you know, when I'm out like running, even I'm listening to a mix, and if I hear a song that I really like, I just lift up my wrist, hit the little plus button, and then it's in my library for later to check out individually. It's really nice. So this seems like it's only going to make that better.
Yeah, they also have a new show from DeadMau5.
Yeah, that I guess people are upset about. But if you don't like DeadMau5, don't listen to it.
Well, the bigger thing there is DeadMau5 was in that on stage event for Tidal.
Yeah. Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
and now he's on Apple Music.
Well, good for him.
Well, it's not like Deadmau5 left Apple Music.
Right. No. I get it. But I mean, at the same time. And I think the timing was interesting, too, because you notice he came on board right at the same time that this mix deal all came about, too. I don't know if there's anything to read into that, but the timing was interesting.
Yeah. What's the... and he's got to pay for his Nyambergini. You guys know about that, right?
No.
I
don't follow Deadmau5.
He had a... I don't really either, but I probably enjoy cars more. I definitely enjoy cars more than I enjoy Deadmau5 at this point. But so originally he had a Ferrari. I think it was like a 458 or something. Yeah. That he called the Ferrari, and he tricked it out. It looked god awful. And Ferrari being Ferrari said, "You can't do that. We're not going to let you." Like, it was his car. He purchased it, but Ferrari said, "No, we're not going to allow you to do that."
So when you buy a Ferrari, are you actually just buying a license from Ferrari to have a car?
Yeah.
Oh, this was the Nyan Cat Ferrari that he tricked out?
Yeah. So he was going to do the Ferrari. Ferrari said, "No, you can't do that. We are Italian. You can't do that." And... so he decided to get a Lamborghini instead and called it the Nyambergini and put Nyan Cat on the side of his Lamborghini. And, yeah. I guess he had Nyan Cat on the, it was originally a Nyan Cat Ferrari, which is why it would be the Ferrari, obviously. But they didn't like that. Also, what I was thinking of, do you guys remember the episode of You Like Nice Today, where they came up with the business idea, songparts.biz?
No,
where it was, where you can, so it's like iTunes, but you can buy only like 3-second clips of a song that you like. So it's like, you know, the cool part of the song.
That's kind of funny. And
These guys are always ahead of the times.
People that would totally do that.
They're always ahead of the times on You Look Nice Today. So songparts.biz will probably be purchased by Apple for like millions of dollars at this point. For all the DJ remixes.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Ooh, according to the Wall Street Journal, Apple is planning to double down on iCloud encryption. They are currently looking for ways to increase iCloud encryption so that they will not have access to the information that is stored there.
All they really have to do is extend whatever they do for things like iCloud Keychain and some of the other stuff that is encrypted and stored in iCloud. I mean, it should be pretty much as simple as letting you set a password on the data that gets uploaded to iCloud. So basically mix your password with the encryption key and then encrypt everything. You know, so then they can still use their encryption key, but the added thing is they just salt it with a password that you set, or a passcode or passphrase, whatever you want to have it be. And then basically that can't be decrypted without your passphrase. Mm-hmm. And then they could still do the things like, if you want to access it in iCloud, you would have to enter your password. They just wouldn't store that. So they'd use it to open and decrypt the data so they could display it to you on the web. And then, you know, when you log out or go away, it's re-encrypted, and Apple doesn't have your passphrase. So therefore their key will not, you know, just their key will not unlock the data.
Yeah. Then Apple will, or the FBI will require Apple to have, what is it? Government cloud OS plug installed on their servers so that the next time you type in your password, they can capture it. And
that's going to take legislation, you know, and it will likely go down that path. I mean, if Apple, this is what's happening. This is the fallout of what's happening, right? Is everybody's entrenching themselves on either side of this. The tech companies are saying, fine, we're just going to take you know, even our ability to decrypt this data out of the equation. And on the other side, the government's saying, well, fine, then we will just write or create laws that force you to build backdoors. And that's where we're at. I mean, that's where we're heading.
Yeah. And sadly, the train we're on, it's like someone opened the throttle all the way and cut the brake lines.
Yeah.
Come on, ride the train and ride it.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is that if Apple's arguments are correct, and the judicial system upholds the fact that the Constitution says they don't have to build backdoors, then it's going to be very hard for Congress to actually write those laws, because basically they're going to need a constitutional amendment.
Hmm. That'll be
fun. That's only if Apple's correct, right?
That'd be nice. Amendments are hard to get.
Very hard. But right now, the government seems to be firmly on the side of companies should have to build backdoors. At least a lot of people in the government seem to be on that side.
Yep.
Of the debate. So yeah, it's a little bit concerning. I mean, and you can look at what's happening over in the UK right now with I'm going to get the name of the thing that's going on over there that they're trying to push through Parliament right now.
Guy Fawkes?
Ha.
No, they already have some surveillance laws where they don't have the judicial oversight right now. So there's the police can go to the police, the head of the police department there and say, hey, I need to get this data from an ISP. And he can go, okay, well, why do you need that data, and what's it for, and what are you doing? And they have to be able to prove that there's an investigation that they need that data for, and it's legit. But if the head of the department says, okay, yeah, you can have that, then the ISP has to turn it over. And it doesn't go to court. It doesn't go to, there's no warrant, per se. It's a different kind of, and I forget what it's called, and I apologize to all of our UK listeners who are probably screaming at their devices right now. I don't have those notes in front of me. But basically, they have that sort of system in place, and they now want to sort of broaden that. And I know one of the rules is that ISPs would have to keep data for longer. So like records
for like 12 months, I think.
Yeah. And phone companies would also have to keep like phone records of like which cell tower, you know, made the call and what numbers were called, basically the call logs and things like that. But, you know, they don't have some oversights. And so that, I mean, these are the places that we're potentially heading to. So people need to, I think, start to get aware of this stuff, and you need to write your congressman, and you need to, you know, the American public's going to have to join in this fight too, to a certain degree, if you care about your privacy.
Yes. So,
it's going to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And my guess is before all is said and done, we'll have a lot more people installing apps that they never would have considered before.
Right.
Yeah, just so they can actually have something that allows them to have privacy and encryption.
And that's the classic thing in technology that, you know, really the people that this is going to impact the most are the law-abiding citizens who aren't doing anything, who are now going to have their privacy infringed on because they don't understand the technology. And the bad guys and all those people that they want to catch and are trying to, they're just going to go ahead and use the tools that are already available, currently available today, that I can get, you know, from OpenWhisper there's a million technologies that I can use to encrypt my data where Apple won't have keys, Google won't have keys. You know, I'm the only one with access to that data. And you know, if you know just a little bit of technology, you can figure out a lot of this stuff on your own. So the people who know that stuff will be protected. The criminals and bad guys will be protected. And it's just the general public who, you know, doesn't know what's going on and doesn't understand the back end technology that's going to be impacted and have less privacy and security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then criminals will use that knowledge to take advantage of those people.
Yep. So in the end, it looks like we're going to have legislation that merely strips away the hope people have of keeping their personal lives and their personal data, including credit card numbers, safe and secure.
And that's why everybody also tries to make the argument to the government. Well, then, you know, then your government iPhones won't be protected. Oh, yes, they'll be protected.
Right, because they'll be using the other apps
right.
that don't fall under the controls that give them the back doors.
Yeah, you got it.
Yummy. Apple seems to be preparing to move some of its data to Google Cloud. To the Google Cloud platform.
Sounds like temporarily.
Yes, temporarily.
Seems like it'll be temporarily. They're building out data centers, of course. They have at least one massive data center, and working on several more.
Can I ask this question? Don't they have many massive data centers?
Yeah.
Or is the only one that's operational? They have one operational in North Carolina, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. They have the one in Oregon.
Is that one operational, or is it still being built?
That's a good question. I thought it was operational.
And the one in Nevada, right,
mm-hmm.
is operational.
And the one on the moon?
Well, and I think they're converting the space, the Sapphire Glass space, into, wasn't that going to be a data center, or is that something else?
They didn't say.
They are. I thought that was a given at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they've been working on building out, but it seems like they have a lot of data infrastructure already, and I thought that was for iCloud stuff. But the reports this week are like, no, they were using Azure and
Amazon
S3.
Yeah, iCloud and iTunes, which means that they have so much data they have to deal with that even with the massive centers they have that they own, they still had to shell out like $1 billion a year to buy server space from these other companies.
Yeah, and it sounded like they started out with Amazon and then were moving to Azure, and now this latest story is they're moving it all over to Google.
Or at least some of it over to Google.
Oh, okay.
That's crazy.
And then want to eventually just bring it all in-house, right? I mean, I think that's... The latest report we're hearing is they really want to plan to bring it all under their own control.
Right.
Which is weird that they just didn't do that from the beginning, but I guess that's an infrastructure thing, right? They just need so much massive infrastructure that it would have taken way too long.
Yeah, and my guess is that they probably looked at the costs and they knew for a while it would be less expensive to farm that out. But eventually right. they would need to build out their own infrastructure, and now they are.
Yep. And speaking of security and stuff, it seems as though, according to, was it the New York Times? I guess they spoke to some of Apple's engineers, software engineers, and a lot of them are already talking about what would happen if Apple were to be compelled to write government OS. They say that they would balk at the request. Some say they would quit.
Yeah. I like Brian Chaffin's take on this. He thinks that this was a planned leak from Apple to let the FBI know that even if they did manage to get the court order to stand, that they still weren't going to get their operating system.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the stance. I appreciate the symbolism in that, if that's true, you know, that they'd be willing to quit over this. But the reality is the next guy in line just comes up. It's not like Apple's going to run out of engineers who can write this
stuff.
That's
true.
They might.
But
they have
it makes this whole process take longer and longer.
Really?
Yeah, because if you get the key people that need to work on government OS, and they leave. Now you have to take new people, get them up to speed, so that they can take over. That's going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that doesn't happen, because you know at a certain point, We live in a country where we have a system, and the system has a way that it works. And yes, we have a history of rebelling against that system, but at the same time, you know, if it gets that far, I think Apple just needs to concede and just be okay. You know, this was the decision of the court, and we'll move on, and we'll fight this battle on another front. You know, we lost this battle, but we'll continue to fight the war. And I really hope it doesn't come to that, because that does kind of breed that. I don't like that kind of defiance at that point, you know, where it's gone through the system. It's gone through all the legal channels that it's supposed to go through. A decision was made. And fighting against that, I think, is just bad for all of us at that point. Right. So, again, and that's not saying I don't appreciate the sentiment of it, you know, saying like this is bad enough that we'd be willing to quit over it. I get it. And standing your ground, I think, is a good thing. But again, Apple's going to have to comply no matter what. So that's great if those engineers don't want to work on that. And I think that's their prerogative, and they should quit if they want to quit. But Apple's still going to have to do it. I don't think Apple is going to try and stop Apple themselves, i.e. Tim Cook or the executive team at that point, is going to try and stop government OS from being created if the Supreme Court says you have to make it.
Mm.
There's no advantage to that for anybody. It just means, you know, Apple executives would go to jail, and it would be really bad. And I don't think that this one incident is that worth it at that point, personally.
Yeah, I think regardless of what happens, we're facing a long, drawn-out mess.
I guess my thing with the engineers is those engineers have good jobs. They have a good position at Apple. And I get the principle of not wanting to do it, that you believe that strongly in it. But at the same time, you're throwing away something, and it's going to get built anyway, I guess is my point. So what have you really accomplished,
mm-hmm.
other than you now don't have a job at Apple?
And then you go work at Google.
Right. And then the government comes over there and says, okay, you've got to build this back door.
Then you go work at Tesla.
And then
when they say you've got to build a back door, you're like,
there are like seven doors.
Cars. I'm
confused. Oh my God. Did you guys see the,
yes,
the car hacking thing on like The Verge with,
I thought that was Wired.
Wired. You saw the car hacking thing with Charlie. What's that hacker? He was always hacking the Apple stuff. Why am I blanking on his last name? Charlie, whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but yes.
Where they totally took remote control of a Jeep Cherokee, and the guy was driving down the freeway.
I thought that was pretty staged.
They did. And this isn't actually new. This was, I think, last year that this all happened, but it's just coming up again now.
Well, last year they were hardwired into the port in the car.
No, that was before that. So it was like last year they did the not wired version.
Uh-huh.
And so it was staged in that the reporter cooperated with them.
Right. Yeah.
And they set up the cameras so they could see what would happen. But what they did, I mean, they really did. They used Wi-Fi built into the car. And we're able to like control everything about the car.
Yeah, it's through the internet. It's through a hole in the system that GM had, and I think it's been since patched because they gave the information to GM, which is why they came public with.
Was that the OnStar thing?
No,
no.
Is it something similar to that?
No, it's through basically they reverse engineered, I think, a way through like the reporting system, so the car can report via the web all kinds of data and information about its systems, and they figured out a hack where they could also send commands to the car's computer.
Did they have to
through the web?
Like, I mean, know exactly which car it was? They couldn't just scan the internet for the car.
Well, they knew exactly which car it was, and what they can do is scan the internet to find the IPs for the various cars that they could control. Yeah. So in this case, they did it in a controlled environment, so they knew it was this guy's car. Otherwise, it would be more like a random thing. Like, hey, we just open the throttle on a Jeep in Minnesota. Woohoo!
I wonder if that information's on Shodan. You guys know about Shodan,
oh,
right?
Oh,
no.
It's a search engine that searches Internet of Things devices, and this includes power plants in China and anything that communicates with the internet,
mm-hmm.
and will tell you basically what it is. So this is a webcam, or no, this is a piece of industrial equipment, where that piece of equipment is, and what kinds of software and things that it's running, and whether or not it's open or not.
Mm.
So like a big part of it is webcams and printers that have, like my home printer, my brother printer, if you don't lock it down, it has online storage that's immediately like online and accessible.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of people don't realize this with their, yeah. Because you can scan something into my, it's like one of these all-in-ones.
Oh,
so when you scan something in, it goes into its own like little internal memory, and it has file services that they're password protected, but they're password protected with default passwords. And if you don't change them, anybody can get in. So you can use Shodan and you can go through and you can start like browsing through some random, printer documents in medical offices and things like that, that they've just installed a printer and they don't even know. So any Shodan is a search engine for all of these kinds of things. So it wouldn't surprise me if like these GM systems are on there. You don't know whose car it is or what it is, but this is a car system and it's running this software and yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think you have to, it's a paid for service. You can do some free searches, but generally you have to pay if you want to access it. But
and people do.
Did you guys see
yeah, so you can look at people's nanny cams and stuff.
That's weird. The segment on John Oliver.
I missed that. I bookmarked it. I haven't watched it yet.
You should really watch it.
It's wonderful.
It is. Yeah, it's very thorough. And at the end, there's a delightful spoof ad. And it's perfect. It's probably the best Apple spoof ad I've seen because they get everything perfectly right. The lighting and everything. So it's intertwined with the iPhone 6S ads.
The piece is just fantastic, and he does such a great job of explaining in a friendly way exactly what's going on with Apple and the FBI. The sad thing is, like a day later, he was on Stephen Colbert and was unable to defend his position at all, and just basically blew it off and said, that was 12 hours ago. I can't remember any of that.
So he was just reading a script.
Well, sure. I mean, that's what he does every week.
Sure.
There's no way to deliver a 20-minute monologue that tight and that good without having a script.
Right.
But, I mean, he wasn't able to back up that video in any way. It was kind of disappointing. But the video itself is great and it's accurate.
Yeah, it is. I will put a link to that in the show notes. Last thing, if anybody cares, Instagram is switching from chronological to an algorithm-based feed. Good or bad? What? Nobody cares?
It's horrible.
Is it?
Yeah. It means now you're not going to see a lot of stuff you want. This annoys me. But it's so Facebook, because this is what Facebook wants you to do. And I tried to do the thing in Facebook where you let them show you the whatever it is that they want to show you. And what I found is that typically I never got to see the things that I ever wanted to see from the people that I'm following.
But maybe it knows better and you shouldn't be seeing the things that you think you want to see.
Clearly that must be it. So the idea of having this happen in Instagram, where I like seeing things in chronological order, just like I like on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I'm very disappointed with this decision.
lot of people are.
Yeah, there was like a boycott day on Instagram, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's not going to do anything.
No, of course not.
So, yeah. Okay, with that, let's do some picks and get out of here. Jeff, what do you want to pick this week?
I want to pick an app that is sort of like... No, I'm not going to say it that way. Okay, I'm going to pick an app that is really cool at letting you draw and create vector graphics in a friendly way, and it's called ProtoSketch. And you can just grab whatever stylus or your finger, whatever you want to use, and start drawing away. And it's you can use it to do like design prototyping, like for a graphic design. But they're showing people using it to do like product design prototyping as well. But it's a really cool graphics app for the iPad. And I've been playing with it for about a week now, and I'm really liking it. It's really cool. You can export the graphics you make out to other apps and other formats. And I believe they have a Mac version coming soon, so you'll be able to just jump between your iPad and your Mac very easily. And I have heard that they're going to have Apple Pencil support soon too.
So this is the protosketch.io?
Protosketch.io.
Cool. Looks nice. Have you guys heard of the Adobe XD software?
Adobe XD?
Experience design? The experience design thing?
Oh, yes.
Have you played with it?
I haven't. I haven't had time yet.
It looks so cool. I should send it to my... experienced design guy at JPL and see what he thinks of it, because it looks really nice, but it may just be all smoke and mirrors. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, with a lot of stuff that Adobe's been doing for iOS, it's good stuff. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know that it really even is for iOS. It's just for building, it's just a user experience design tool, I think. But it may be targeted for iOS. I don't know. But
I thought it was not like, here's how to make an iOS interface, but like targeted so that you could do the work on a mobile device very easily.
I think it's for the Mac.
I don't know. Is it?
For the Mac, yeah.
All right, well.
It's a tool. It's a tool for...
there's so many apps out there.
No, there aren't. There's like two. Come on, Jeff.
Well, that's like two.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So your pick was ProtoSketch. How much is it?
Oh, that's a good question.
How many doll hairs?
I think it's like $9 or something.
There you go. $9. All right. Adam.
Yes, sir.
What's your pick?
My pick, I'm actually going to do one. This is going to be a little bit different. So this is from a listener. So a listener contacted me, and he had a really specific need. And he said, hey, I want to send you one of these things that I've been working on. And it's kind of, I don't know where it's at this point. It seems like it's a prototype, but it is a 3D printed case. And I'll give Michael the link so you can put it in the show notes. But it is called, he's calling it the case. Okay. And the reason it's called the case, this is like a cool idea because there are a bunch of people that have to carry two iPhones. So he's in this situation where he's at a job, they issue him an iPhone, he's only allowed to use that one for work, but he also has his own personal iPhone. And so he's carrying them around in his pocket, and so it's just, he's got the thing up on Shapeways right now, and he sent me a couple. And the way it works is the case on the back has a little mechanism that slots together, and you can actually clip two iPhones back to back and hold them together. So not something that I need.
Can we show this to somebody who's starving in Africa?
Why?
I mean, it's just, I totally get it. It's just, it's funny. There's definitely some comedic value here, but it's really cool.
It's an idea.
It's a very like exhibit pimp my ride.
But then I started to think about the people that actually might need something like this.
Like Barry. Barry probably dual wields.
Yeah. So probably. I mean, it's one of these problems that I don't encounter, but I'm sure that people do and get frustrated by. So rather than sit around and just be frustrated by it, what I appreciate is this guy went, you know what? I want a solution for this. It doesn't exist. I'm going to design something and make it. So cool. I think he's playing around with different designs. I think he has an iPhone 5S one and an iPhone 6S one. And he sent me a 5S and a 6 because those are the two phones that I have. And I clipped them together, and it works as advertised. And he also, the only bummer with the one that I have where it clips together is the cameras. You can't use the cameras. At least the EyeSight cameras. So am I getting that right? Yeah, the back cameras when it's clipped together. But it easily just twists back apart. Now, he also does have a design where it's slightly offset.
So that
both camera holes are usable. So you just flip it around one way and you've got one phone. You flip it around the other way, you've got the other phone. And again, right now it's through Shapeways, so it's a 3D printed case. So the material's not, you know, probably the best thing in the world. But like I said, it's just an idea. He's starting out, and I can appreciate it.
That's cool.
I'm going to make it my pick. Check it out. I don't know if it'll eventually become a Kickstarter. I don't know what he has planned for it, but
I like it.
I thought it was clever. I mean, it solves a problem that he had and maybe some other people have.
I think a lot of people have this. Maybe a lot of people with government jobs, corporate jobs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
For sure.
So... if you want to have them all together as one unit, I mean, it makes it a little bit bulkier, but you know,
I like it. It's cool. $35, right?
Yep.
Cool. So my pick. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know how the pricing is. I mean, again, recognize what it is. It's a 3D printed case.
But so. You get two cases for the price of one.
You do get two cases.
I guess. My pick this week is The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. Because, one, it's super entertaining. And you get to see John Travolta in the craziest role ever. Well, not so much the role, but him doing like the craziest, I don't know, impression of a guy.
Face-off?
No.
Oh. No.
Okay, you're right. Never mind. It's not the craziest thing that John Travolta has done. I give you that. Face Off was crazier. thank you. I am not old enough to know anything about the O.J. Simpson trial or situation at all.
Being in Vegas when the white Bronco went on, and I just looked up from the slot machine or from the, I think it was at a blackjack table, and there was like nobody in the casino. They were all in the bar. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those things that if you weren't, conscious or alive during that whole thing, it's going to tune you into a whole lot of pop culture, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really entertaining story. So if you have a cable package that gets you FX, then, you know, grab the FX app. I've been watching it on my Apple TV. I believe you can pay for FX separately. You can get FX Now or whatever and watch it that way. But it is on FX. I think you can probably find it on iTunes as well. But definitely check it out. Have either of you seen this yet?
Is FX not part of Hulu?
I
think it is.
I think it's an FX exclusive. I've definitely been watching it on the... The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Is it? Okay, good. So it's on Hulu as well.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I've heard it's really good, and in or just generally speaking, it's pretty accurate too.
Yeah, very accurate. And the fun thing that I realized is I watched a little documentary on the thing. The characters, the real people the characters are based off of look and act and sound exactly the way they're portrayed in the series. It's uncanny. It's really awesome. They did a great job casting. All the actors do a great job.
So this is like a show? It's not like
a
documentary?
It's a mini-series.
It's a 10-part mini-series.
Bizarre.
So it's a dramatization, but they tried to match the actual...
who plays Kato?
Some blonde guy.
Tell me it's somebody awesome.
It's some blonde guy. I don't think it's somebody awesome.
Is it Jamie Lannister?
I don't know.
No, he's in the new Ghostbusters film. Why I can't remember the actor's name.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. Do we have to pay for that now? I think we do. Yeah, I don't know. Kato. Doesn't say on IMDb. Weird.
So what is in Travolta plays who?
One of the attorneys. He plays Bob. Who's a what's it? Robert Shapiro.
Oh, wow.
They gave him the craziest makeup for this thing.
Well, I was going to say, because I want to say, wasn't Shapiro partly bald?
Yeah, he has a very nice balding effect. It's nice. I don't know how they did it. They must have. Someone went in there and
bald cap on him.
Thinned out his hair in spots. I definitely noticed that. And of course, John Travolta has a giant head, so it's not the best for Robert Shapiro. But anyway, it's so good. It's so good. Check it out. I guess if you watch it on Hulu, you have to connect to your TV provider. That BS. You know what I'm talking about?
That sucks. Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, I pay for premium Hulu. Oh, but you also have to have a cable package because we lied.
We're liars. Really?
Yeah. Hulu is a bunch of liars. I'll keep mentioning that as long as they continue being a bunch of liars. So don't mess with Hulu. Because you're not going to be able to watch it on Hulu unless you have a cable package, in which case, just watch it on FX. The people versus, I think it's on, maybe it's not on iTunes.
You can buy it on iTunes.
Oh, you can. It's on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do that or watch it on FX. So that's my pick. The People versus OJ Simpson. Check it out. It's awesome. So with that, all of our iPhone picks in the show notes can be found at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Give it a star rating. Tell a friend if you know somebody who would enjoy the show. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, all that stuff. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, at Mattcast on Twitter, and everywhere else on the internet. He is Mattcast.
Yeah. Can I say one other thing? If people haven't checked it out, check out the Mac Show, which I also do pretty much weekly now over at thebritishtechnetwork.com.
Because you probably get up early.
Different perspective. Just know that unlike my show, that show is billed as guys hanging out at the pub. So it's not as clean. It doesn't have the clean tag. Let's just say that.
I don't think we have the clean tag.
I don't know. But
we don't have. We definitely don't have. The
language
a clean
is a lot more colorful than what you will hear on my show. So if you don't like that sort of thing, maybe don't listen to it. But if you do, and you want something, just another show to listen to every week where you get to hear me, then check that one out.
Yeah, thanks. And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, which is every weekday.
Every weekday. Yep.
Awesome conversations with all the TMO peeps.
Yep. It's a really fun show to do. And as long as Adam's talking about stuff from British Tech Network, I do The Big Show with them every week, which is on Thursdays. And same thing. It's like a bunch of people hanging out at the pub, so it can get kind of colorful. It's a general technology show instead of Apple and Mac specific.
There's other technology.
I heard a rumor about Jeff recently
that he doesn't wear pants.
That there's another show that's coming.
There is a rumor that there is another show coming. Yeah.
Was this reported on some like blog that you heard of, or are you just hearing about this because you know?
I was
personally
on the Trivia Geeks podcast this week with another shared friend, and she spilled the beans.
Yep. We are getting very close to launching a new show.
Sweet.
Yep. And that other person that you were talking to, I'm assuming, is Kelly Gumont.
Yes.
Yep. So, yep, Kelly and I are putting together a new show.
Cool.
If you want to know what it is, you can go watch the latest Trivia Geeks podcast.
Yeah, there you go. See, I intentionally didn't say, just so that you'd have a nice teaser to pull people into the show.
That's smart.
And Kelly crushed me on Trivia Geeks, just so you know. Oh, I gave away the ending. Spoiler alert.
I think you're supposed to give the spoiler alert before the spoiler.
I know, I messed it up.
Yeah. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And I guess with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?
Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.